You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Go to the site, check out all the good stuff we have, not just in the NFL, but we've got you covered on all the sports and their potential return from the coronavirus updates that you need to know, as well as looking forward to the seasons, hopefully, that we're going to have come about here in 2020. In their different forms. The NFL, we're still hopeful that it's going to go off without a hitch here, maybe a little delay. We know we're losing some of the preseason, but we're proceeding, previewing the 2020 season as it will proceed normally. And we're doing that this week by looking at the core questions for all 16 AFC teams. We've gone through 12 over the three divisions, the AFC East, AFC North, and AFC South. That leaves the AFC West. So that's our division today to wrap up the week here. So we'll look at all four teams, the Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders, and Chargers. Basically what's most pressing that we want answered here. Maybe we have some insight now. Maybe we need to learn a little bit more. But for fantasy football, we're tying the information and things there for what is facing each team in a very critical time to prepare for the 2020 season. So let's dive right into it with our first team. That's the Denver Broncos. And with the Broncos, there's a lot of things going on with the Broncos. I think you look at Drew Lock, there's a lot of upside with him. I think there's a pretty clear pecking order. You look at Cortland Sutton being the number one receiver. He can do everything big, get up and get the ball in the red zone, also stretch the field. You have Jerry Jeudy comes in as a good, smooth route running possession receiver as a first round pick. You have K.J. Hamler, the favorite, maybe to displace Deshaun Hamilton in the new offense. We'll see how that battle plays out. It's minor in the big picture in terms of fantasy production. I think it's going to be a lot of Sutton, a little bit of Jeudy, a lot from the tight end, Noah Fant there, and they'll use some two tight end sets. But mainly with Pat Shurmur coming in, he likes to use 11 personnel, spread the field, and use that to run the ball. They're going away from a fullback in this offense as well, so kind of using the space in the field to help the running game. So that all leads to the biggest question here in Denver. And Drew Lock, I think that's just one of those things. We're going to see if Drew Lock can develop here with all those weapons. That's more of just a mystery. It's really about Drew Lock kind of putting it all together. But the backfield is the biggest question for the Broncos here. Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman. How is that going to play out in this battle? They did invest pretty well in Melvin Gordon. They suggested that he might have a lead role, but then you have Philip Lindsay, who's been very productive. I know it's a different offense here in 2020 for the Broncos with Shurmur taking over from Rick Scangarello. But really, do they trust Melvin Gordon to be all in, or is Philip Lindsay going to be the Austin Eckler of this combination that we see, where Lindsay has been very explosive? He's been also very verbal about the disappointment in signing Gordon here. So he's going to be motivated. He's had two great years here coming in as an undrafted free agent out of nowhere, really producing, doing a lot of little things right for this team. He's a more explosive runner at this point than Melvin Gordon. Gordon's pretty much a straight-ahead type power guy. Can Lindsay carve out a key role here with Gordon, or even say that it's going to be an even split? That's what we're going to say. Right now, I would say, we've looked at it with Gordon. I think it's going to be a 60-40 with Gordon. And right now, that includes Royce Freeman as well, because they like Royce Freeman. They haven't decided to dump him yet. They could have a committee approach here with Shurmur. We know in New York, he had Saquon Barkley. I don't think you put Melvin Gordon in that same class, of course, with his ability to do a little bit of everything. So I think Melvin Gordon's a fine back. I don't think he's a special back in any way. And I've kind of had this contention for a while that it's just about volume from him. He had those zero touchdowns early in his career as a rookie. Then he was a touchdown machine there. But then he kind of got phased out and of his own doing as well, that he kind of had that weird holdout situation until he had to play so he could accrue the season, so he could become a free agent to actually get out of the Chargers situation. So That's bizarre as well, with that little layoff from early last year. Probably hurts that his continuity is not as strong as a feature back. He was more like a change of pace, and also came in with the benefit of not having the early wear and tear of last season. So how does he hold up again over the course of a season? He's getting a little bit older there. How much does Lindsey factor in? And is Freeman going to be a big deal, or is he just going to be the basic swing number three here when Gordon or Lindsey can't be in the game, that he can handle himself on the early downs with power all the way through the red zone, but also be a factor a little bit with the passing game because of his ability and pass protection that they really like? And that was a surprising thing, is that Lindsey, good change of pace back, can catch the ball if needed, but Freeman, they trusted a little bit more in pass protection, and that's why he had a little bit of a role on that team behind Lindsey, coming on strong as the better backer the first 2 years they've been on the Broncos. So we'll see how that plays out. It's going to be interesting. I look at the Broncos' weapons, and they certainly have some legitimacy there, especially if we throw in the tight ends. Van Albert Aquinem in the mix there. How do they play out here? The rookie, and then Noah Fant, the first rounder from last year. And then using these wide receivers to spread the field legitimately here for Drew Lock. I still think this team needs to run the ball effectively. They have pretty good defense still with Von Miller and company. That has to be the identity with Vic Fangio. If they're going to try to win games, they can't put it all on Drew Lock here. So the backfield is certainly going to be interesting. I think Gordon has a slight edge to be lead here, but it could even out here. Lindsey's just too talented, too motivated to let Gordon, kind of a plotter, has some injury issues as well to completely trust. So again, I think by the newness of acquiring Gordon, new offense, spending some money, that leans toward him getting the key shot at touches early. But this could definitely develop as Shurmur gets a better look at Phillip Lindsey and what he's done, what he's meant to this offense, and the guys that have blocked for him before, to maybe factor him a little bit more as time goes on. So there you have it. It's going to be a situation we watch a lot, the backfield in Denver, and see where the best production comes from, and if we can trust Melvin Gordon as an RB2 with a high-end RB1 appeal. So we still have to get to the Chiefs, the Raiders, and Chargers here in this division and their core training camp questions. But first, we got to take a break to tell you about Rock Auto. One reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money, and you can do that and save for more important things like mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or car dealership when you can just simply choose rockauto.com? The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. They have parts that are available for your car or truck, and it's easy to choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. It's just so much more efficient than trying to go to a chain storefront and trying to ask the counterman to do the same thing for you. You have access to all the car and truck parts you would need there in the palm of your hands at rockauto.com. It's an easy site, again, to find exactly what you're looking for. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and are the same whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or a professional. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? It's silly. Just go to rockauto.com and save that money. You can go there right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, and they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. That's rockauto.com. We'll be right back here to look at the Chiefs and the Raiders and their pressing questions for 2020 training camp here on Locked On Fantasy Football. All right, let's continue the show here with the look at the teams in the AFC West, what's facing them in training camp. The Kansas City Chiefs, congratulations to them. They are the reigning Super Bowl champions. We know they have no question at quarterback with Patrick Mahomes. The receiving order is very similar to last year. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are your go-to guys. Piecemeal between Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, and DeMarcus Robinson. Could Hardman step up in that group? Certainly we'll be watching for that. But Hill and Kelce are still going to be key sources of production here. Mahomes is going to get the ball to everyone, have a chance for a big rebound season, fully healthy. So we all know a lot about the Chiefs. Not much changing there. It's Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy. That combination comes back. So that leads us to the core question for the Chiefs. Damian Williams versus your hotshot newcomer, first-round pick from LSU, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So when you look at this, the Chiefs, the backfield slowly leaning toward Edwards-Helaire. We're looking at him consistently now, ADP, in RB1 status. Yep, that's how much we think of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I think the industry is starting to realize that Damian Williams is a fine back, but he's a backup, and there's been reasons to always doubt him. Last year, he had to emerge again for this team. He kind of stepped into the role by accident when Kareem Hunt had all his off-field issues a couple years ago. So we're not sure if the Chiefs have been all in on Damian Williams. I think they've appreciated his work, and with their other options, he's been the better one. I mean, we had Darwin Thompson in the mix. You have had Darrell Williams. You've had these type of backs as the alternatives. You even had LeSean McCoy in there. So in terms of what they had before, Damian Williams is clearly the clear-cut back here that they could trust to do a little bit of everything well. But that's now Clyde Edwards-Helaire. When you invest a first-round pick in a running back, I know he's a luxury pick to some degree for the Chiefs, but it means wanting to showcase and deploy him immediately in some form. Now, and this is a team necessarily that doesn't like committees. You've seen Jamaal Charles. He's gotten good value and volume. When he went down, he had a guy like Spencer Ware step up in his absence and produce. You had the look at Charkhandrick West and even handle high volume for this team when needed. Then they had Kareem Hunt, and he was getting all the early down red zone and receiving touches. Well, Andy Reid backs simply produce at a high level. Clyde Edwards-Helaire factors in like guys from the past, namely Brian Westbrook, with whom Reid has been enamored. So keep that in mind. You can always trust a coach's history over multiple teams with the same offense. Andy Reid has a track record with running backs. You want that running back that Andy Reid might be featuring here in 2020. And just the momentum seems to side with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Williams is a free agent. He's not going to be re-signed there in 2021. So there's a little upside to putting him in if he's not explosive and taking over games and being the best passing game complement to Patrick Mahomes. So I'd say Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a pretty good shot to end up being pretty much the lead back for the Chiefs coming out of training camp and preseason here for 2020, living up to the hype and certainly settling into a very attractive RB1 to draft here. And even ahead of a lot of the veterans that have had some buzz here this offseason, say, yeah, Joe Mixon, if it's Joe Mixon in volume with the Bengals offense or Clyde Edwards-Helaire with volume in the Chiefs offense, it's Edwards-Helaire hands down. So that's how you kind of compare it. So I think that ADP of 12, the borderline RB1, RB2, I think that could go into solid RB1 status before it's all said and done. The next team we look at is the Las Vegas Raiders. Yeah, we're going to have to get used to saying that, just like we've gotten used to the Los Angeles Chargers. They'll be the team we talk about in our final segment. But the Raiders are up here. And are we going to see the normal season in Las Vegas, the stadium there on its way? People are excited to see what this team can do. It's still the same Raiders team from last year, just in a different address. And we know there's some changes here as well. Now, backfield is no question. It's a lot of Josh Jacobs, a little bit of Jalen Richard as the change of pace there. I think Derek Carr for now is going to be a starter. I don't think that's going to be a real battle between Marcus Mariota, at least early. I think Derek Carr is going to have to falter a little bit. Mariota is going to have to pull a Ryan Tannehill behind the scenes to seem like a better quarterback option to throw the ball downfield. And we know that's not Mariota's strength. It's also not Derek Carr's strength. So that might cancel it out, and Derek Carr is going to remain your starter possibly throughout the whole season. Jacobs, Richard take care of the backfield. The receiving core, Darren Waller, elite tight end. He's going to play off Jason Witten now, more two tight end sets. The question is, what wide receiver is going to be key for Derek Carr that we can trust potentially in fantasy football with some production? And it's been really tough because you look at it, Tyrell Williams had a good start last year. Then he had some injury issues, some things that carried over from the Chargers. You had Antonio Brown, the promise of him early, and that fizzled. They had to kind of pivot to Darren Waller as a go-to guy. So keep in mind, Waller is going to be a key target regardless for Derek Carr. There's that familiarity. But Hunter Renfrow in the slot really emerged there, caught a lot of passes there. He was very busy for Derek Carr. He is more of Derek Carr's type receiver in terms of short to intermediate there. And that would make sense if Waller was a key part of their offense. So a lot of inside short to intermediate stuff I think you're going to get from the Raiders. So that certainly favors Renfro. And the other guy you have is Henry Ruggs III. Had a bit of an injury issue after being taken the first round by the Raiders. So kind of healing from that here going into camp. And we'll see what they can get out of him. He's a speed-based receiver. Big plays down the field. Has some potential in the slot. But we know Renfro mans that spot. So he's going to have to play on the outside. Be a field stretcher. Tyrell Williams, a little bit of the same profile. A little bit more trustworthy in other parts of the field. And showed that. He had a little bit of red zone pop early in his first season with the Raiders. So it's going to be interesting. I think it's a wide open here between Williams, Renfro, and Ruggs. I think Ruggs has the most upside. Williams might have the safest floor in terms of touchdowns and some big plays. But Renfro could be the special for PPR leagues where he sees a lot of volume targets and very efficient in turning those into catches. So you might not get a lot of explosiveness from Renfro, but he's a guy that can average 12 to 13 yards per catch, get open, get some first downs, rack up the catches. But I don't think I see him as that big home run hitter or touchdown maker there for this team. I think he's a bit underrated in being able to stretch the field in that sense if needed in the middle. But again, I think if you're looking for the steady potential play, Williams certainly has some appeal with Carr. If you're looking for potential that of a guy that's starting out slowly but carving out his role later, I think you see Ruggs. But again, Renfro, again, could be that deep sleeper that you steal in PPR league. So right now, really the Raiders receiver that you trust the most to produce, similar to his production, and Witten not being the same type of threat as the other wide receivers are to Ruggs, Williams, or Renfro, that's Darren Waller. So he's going to clearly return as a go-to guy. That all works out well for him with the style of offense that both Carr and Mariota like to execute in the passing game here in 2020. So my money's on Renfro being the real go-to guy, but that may not add up to a lot of touchdowns and yards. But PPR league's certainly valuable there. And if I had to go with Ruggs and Williams, I'm an upside guy. I'm going to go for the upside with Ruggs, and I don't really have much interest in Williams with the durability issues and limitations there in this offense with the other mouths to feed. So there you have a look at now three teams in the AFC West. We're down to one team in the entire conference that we need to break down, and one more in the division. The Chargers will do that in our last segment. But before we do that, I got to remind you that the draft is in the rearview mirror for 2020, but it's coming up soon for April 2021, really May, going to that with the draft. So looking forward to that. And we have two great shows for you in the Locked On Network to check out here. Locked On NFL Draft and the Draft Dudes, turning the page to 2021. Very talented class with Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields at quarterback leading the way. We'll see about a college football season, but regardless of that, we know Lawrence and Fields are already special NFL-type talents. So we're looking forward and excited to see where those guys might go. There's some speculation. How much better can they get? Who are going to emerge at other positions that we're going to look at as well in 2020? So exciting time that we're already looking ahead to the 2021 draft, and two shows are going to do it for you on the network, Draft Dudes and Locked On NFL Draft. We'll be right back here to close the show and the week looking at the Los Angeles Chargers core training camp question here in 2020. All right, let's pick up where we left off and end it here with the Chargers, our last AFC team that we're going to look at. We've gone across divisions. The Chargers come up, and their question is rather easy. Let's start with the no-brainers on this team, and that Austin Eckler is your lead back. We'll see if it's Joshua Kelly, the rookie, or Justin Jackson being that complement to him. Eckler can do it all. We know he's an elite receiver, but also a very good drive finisher and trustworthy back. So Kelly probably has the edge to be the lead power back here in usage ahead of Justin Jackson. You look at wide receiver, pretty clear cut here. It's Keenan Allen, still your number one. You have Mike Williams, occasional big playmaker, has some touchdown upside as well. You've got your third receiver is a question mark, but that doesn't matter when you have an elite tight end. Hunter Henry being your, I'd say he's your 1B option with Keenan Allen this offense. So those are your three top targets, Allen, Williams, and Henry. Eckler, also a big part of the passing game we know. But what's different here with the Chargers is pretty easy, is quarterback. And it's a two-part question again for them at quarterback with this core question. Do they completely trust Tyrod Taylor to be the starting quarterback for the entire season? And is Justin Herbert going to get any chance to compete for this job, at least show something here early season, if he's going to get a shot somewhere in the season? So, and we heard Hunter Henry say early in the process that he was excited about the prospects of Taylor and bringing another element to this offense. That means his running ability, ability to extend plays, buy time to throw downfield. Taylor is a very good deep ball thrower, and that should help Mike Williams as well. So he's a tough guy to displace, because Taylor, I know he ran into a tough spot there in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield and kind of got displaced there quickly. They wanted to more see Mayfield and what he could do, and they realized they had to turn the page there to get a little bit more upside. Taylor wasn't getting it done. It wasn't a right scheme for him, but Anthony Lynn, he has good history with Lynn from their days in Buffalo, the extension of his best days as a fantasy and reality performer there from Greg Roman. So what do you think about that? They love Taylor. They're even considering if Justin Herbert needs extra time, that Taylor could play two seasons. I doubt that. His contract is only here for 2020. So he's the ultimate bridge quarterback in the right situation for him with the right offensive coordinator and the right weapons. Again, he's an underrated deep ball thrower. Williams is that home run hitter that you look at. He can buy time and get the ball to Keenan Allen. Hunter Henry is also a field stretcher in the intermediate part of the field in the middle. So when you look at that overall, I mean, it's a good situation for Taylor. He inherits some good weapons from Phillip Rivers after serving as Rivers' backup here. So, again, Taylor's just not had the best time here since then. Nathan Peterman issue and all that stuff that's happened here in Buffalo and Cleveland. But the Chargers have been a pretty good situation for him. So I really think that Taylor's a sleeper because of his running ability as well. Remember, running quarterbacks, if you look at the top guys, QB1s, they all have that ability to supplement their passing production. Taylor certainly has that as well, and Lynn is going to let him use that ability. So all that adds up to saying that Justin Herbert has a very little shot at starting quarterback here, not only early this season, but throughout his rookie season. He's a raw talent, trying to put it all together, still needs extensive coaching. Taylor developing behind him will help. Lynn and his coaching staff, Shane Steichen, they need to have a lot of influence on Herbert, try to harness what he can do best, translate that in the NFL with his accuracy and arm and athleticism and all that. In the meantime, they have a very strong bridge option. Again, the familiarity of the offense and the coach really helps Taylor. The players also seem to want to respond to Taylor, including Henry and Allen and Williams. So again, Justin Herbert looks like he's going to be redshirted here for his rookie season as a first-round pick, and that would not surprise me at all. So Herbert just has to show some flashes to maybe get the hint if the Chargers are out of the playoff mix, which I don't see they're going to do that early because they're pretty talented across the board, especially defensively here, to stay in the mix. So everything points against Justin Herbert starting a game in 2020. Again, it probably is going to come down to Taylor having a just ridiculously poor performance there and having the type of start he had in Cleveland a few years ago, or just getting hurt to open that door for Justin Herbert to show what he can do immediately as a rookie here in 2020. So there you have it. There's a look at answering and analyzing the key questions for each AFC West team in training camp. We went through the Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders, and Chargers. That completed our week. We went through the AFC East, AFC North, AFC South on our previous three shows. So if you missed anything there, go back and catch up there. That means we're going to turn our attention to the NFC next week. So check us out then, and we'll start knocking out the four divisions for you there as we answer all the core questions for every team going into training camp here in 2020. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Fantasy Football. Now tell your smart speaker to play the most recent episode of Locked On NFL Draft. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week with a look at the NFC camp questions.